بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلي، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Today I'm going to address an important topic which concerns the topic of friendship. The dua that I have quoted in front of you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made an ajeeb dua. Say, Wallah, make your love, my love for you, the most beloved thing in my sight. Wallah, make my love for you the most beloved thing in my sight. Why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that? For a salik, for a person you feel in tasawwuf, a person who wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is food for thought in that. Because in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has guided us as to what are the limits a Muslim must make friendship. And the reason for that as well. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to this effect, telling the Muslim, when you make friendship, when you deliberate on friendship, restrain your friendship. Because a friend today can be an enemy tomorrow. An enemy tomorrow can become a friend to. An enemy today can become a friend tomorrow. From this hadith, there are a very important usul that the ulama have written, that when we make friendship with people, there must be moderation. If you look at the life of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, we won't have time to go into the details. A few of the waqiyah that you are aware of is food for thought. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went for Miraj, he came to Makkatul Mukarrama and he announced to the people that I made a night journey. The pagan Arabs started laughing at him, mocking at him. And they, how can it be possible in one night, from Makkah you go to Jerusalem in one night? In those days there was no plane. It's impossible. And they started to criticize, ridicule the Muslims. And in fact, some Muslims stepped back at this statement of Rasulullah sallam. And just imagine what went in the mind of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The talk of the town, in fact, the Quran itself had to come and to save Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where Allah passed the Quran, "Wa ma sahibukum bi majnoon," that your friend is not mad. All type of titles the people, the Meccans, were putting on Rasulullah. He was down completely. His wife passed away, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the main person behind him. The Quran talk about Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, how Rasulullah was poor and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriched him through Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. The first person to embrace Islam. When Rasulullah met Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam in Ghar Hira coming back, Zammiluni Kodami, it was the same woman who shouldered him. When the chief of the Quraysh wanted to kill him, to abuse on him, but Abu Talib was here as the elder of the Quraysh tribe, so they could not touch Rasulullah. Those two passed away. Then only Rasulullah called Rasulullah for Miraj. Then he came back. Now the Arabs say, what is going wrong with this Muhammad now? First he told us, don't worship anybody but Allah. He doesn't want us to worship our idols. Now he wants to attack our economy. Now he says he's going to the heavens now in one night. On that specific time, just imagine Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when the people went to him and said, look what your friend is saying. How is it possible? He said, if he said it, it's true. That moment, just put yourself in the skin of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What this mean to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? that if he said it, it is true. And on that, Rasulullah said, you are Sadiq. Abu Bakr Siddiq. That is and you got to understand the title Siddiqiyat, just under Nabuwat, you get Siddiqiyat. Allah. The highest point you can go in Tasawwuf is the level of Siddiqiyat. On that, Rasulullah gave him the title of Abu Bakr Siddiq. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was going for his journey towards Madinatul Munawwara for Hijrah, he went in another cave, Ghari Thor. There, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala did not allow Rasulullah sallam to go inside. First he went, cleaned the cave and patched all the holes where there were snakes coming. There was only one hole, and that hole also he blocked it with his feet so that Rasulullah sallam could rest. Then he allowed Rasulullah to lay on his side. One snake bit him. He could not to disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He held it and held it and held the pain. He couldn't hold it that the tears fell. And Rasulullah's head was here. It fell on the eyes of the face. Rasulullah woke up. Hey, Abu Bakr, what is happening to you? Then Rasulullah saw that the snake bit him. Only one hole. He had to stop it so that Rasulullah can rest. A person of this caliber, that at the day of Qiyamah, nobody will be able to equate Abu Bakr Siddiq. Rasulullah says, لَوْ كُنْتُ مُتَّخِذًا خَلِيلًا. If I am to take a Khalil, a friend, لَأَخَذْتُ أَبَا بَكْرٍ خَلِيلًا. I would have taken Abu Bakr as my friend. The concept of friendship, Rasulullah has made clear that we have to draw a line when we make friendship. Because friendship is a very good thing in Islam. But how to make friendship? Where to draw the line? We haven't understood it. And this is where there are backbiting. This is where it has asarat on our heart. This is where we waste time. This is where we don't control our tongue. We talk all type of things. Our time is not making qadar of. And our secret, our house goes out. Our time is wasted. And we are not making our Islam. One of the main reasons we haven't understood the confine of friendship in Islam. So Rasulullah ﷺ has drawn a line as what is the meaning of a friend. In another hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ say, La tusahib illa bi mu'mina. Do not befriend anybody but a mu'min. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates in the Quran between mu'min and Muslim. Ulama Kiram explained, a mu'min is a practicing Muslim. Very pardon. A Muslim is a bit lax. So Rasulullah ﷺ said, if you are to make a sahib, if you are to stay in the sohbat of a friend, la to sahib, do not befriend anybody but a mu'min. Because your friendship will have an asarat on your heart. Your environment will have an effect on you. Just like it now, it poured outside, which is the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you take salt, I gave this example before. The salt is very dry, you lock it in a bottle. But at the moment it starts raining, even though the salt is not outside, you will find the effect of the rain, the environment on this bottle. You can see the structure of the salt start changing. This is the effect of the environment. And to protect this heart, one of the nuskha Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says is look with who you are making friends. Very important. For this reason, Allah Rasulullah says that my friend is Allah. For a salik, he has to understand if he wants to spend time, he wants to befriend somebody. He can be your wife, he can be our children, he can be our father, he can be our mother, he can be our ustaz, he can be our sheikh, whoever it is, Allah comes first. The basis of our friendship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is substantiated from our hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Bukhari Sharif, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person's iman is not complete until he doesn't love because of Allah or he hates because of Allah. The bunyad, the foundation of friendship, of love, must be for Allah. And for hatred also must be for Allah. Nobody else. Yani the salik, his heart must be so full with Allah's love, Allah's tawajju, that there must be no place for anybody there. And this is why I gave last time about Rabia Basriya. When people ask her, do you have hatred for shaitan? She said, my heart is so full with the love of Allah, there is no place for hating shaitan in my heart. This is a darja, the maqam of the wali of Allah. If we want to take the path of suluk, this is how we must go. We must have moderation as regard to our friendship. This heart must be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to understand that. If we want to reform ourselves, we got to put our life, everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has made it clear in the Quran that He has bought, He has made a deal with the mu'min that He has bought their iman, their life, their wealth, everything. In akhirat, in exchange of akhirat. We have to understand that our heart is for Allah and His Rasul. Until there is no hubbullah in our heart, there is no hubbul Rasul in our heart, it is impossible to progress in the field of salik, for the salik. Last week I mentioned you one ayah of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي أَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِمَانَهُمْ مَعَ إِمَانِينَ. Allah is the one who descends sakina in the heart of the mu'min so that this increases the iman with the iman. Allah has put twice the word iman there. Why? Allama Alusi rahmallah mentioned that the word sakina, one of the meanings, he has given three meanings, is a light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in the heart of a mu'min. This light guides the heart 24 hours to have tawajjuh on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His zahan is always on Allah. This is the meaning of sakina that the Sahaba kiram had on the Battle of Badr and all the battles that took place. Their heart was always with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what is the meaning of that? Ulama kiram explain, Imam Bukhari also in Sahih Bukhari, in a long debate, this iman that we have, Al-Imanu la yazidu wa la yanqus. Iman doesn't increase, doesn't decrease. The big bahas on that. What is iman? Wala Shafari Tawi rahmatullah alayhi explained the difference between those two things. When a mu'min got sakina in his heart, when he makes his azkar, his heart, his tawajjuh is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are two types of iman. What iman Allah is talking here? Before a person, a salik, gets sakina in his heart, before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals this chain, sukoon, this tranquility in his heart, the iman is one stage. Mawlana Shafi'i Thani rahmatullah alayhi says, this iman, we call it an iman which is inherited. It is aqli, istibati, or istidlali, and murithi. It is an iman which a person inherited because his father was a Muslim, mother is Muslim, or he applies iman and he believes in Allah, and he think about the creation, pondering the Quran and the Sunnah, and this is how he got this iman. But when sakina comes in the heart, it takes another shape. It becomes dhawqi and wijdani. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his tawajjuh is so much in Allah that Allah make him taste the iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anchored that iman in his heart. Very well entrenched. It's two different iman. Hakim Akhtasar Baba Rakatum explained this differently. How to differentiate this type of iman? When the heart starts feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is start feeling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The zawq, the taste of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes in our heart. This is tasawwuf. This is a salik path. When the heart will feel Allah, when the heart will contain Allah. He gives a beautiful example. He says there was a barren land. The barren land is asking, how is the sea? The barren land is asking, how is the breeze? The barren land is asking, how is the lush area surrounding me when there is water, when I contain the sea? He's asking the question. But then when the barren land contains the sea, when the breeze starts blowing, he won't even ask how is the sea. He's feeling the sea. And he can see the effect of the breeze of the sea on the environment around it. This is the wali of Allah's heart. Until we do not get this zawqi iman, this wijdani iman, our iman will remain the stage of we have inherited it. The stage of we are applying our mind is on Allah. We haven't tasted Allah. We haven't feeling Allah in our heart. So when we have sakina through azkar, through tawbah, through cleaning our heart, then this is the iman that we have. This is the iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us. Then there is no need to ask about aqidah. There is no need to have shak in Allah. There is no need to ask who is Allah. There is no need to ask whether we're going to get Jannat or Jahannam. There is no need to ask how is the rahmat of Allah. There is no need to ask is Allah going to give us our rizq, because we are containing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart. This is a level of iman that we're going to get when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals sakina in our heart. And to get that, we must be very, very cautious. This is why Rasulullah says, this heart of mine, if I was to give it, if there was a friend I would like to give in my heart, would have been Abu Bakr, who has given his life to me. But I cannot give this life, this heart to Abu Bakr, because this life, this heart that I've got, has been tawajjuh for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sakina that Allah has put in my heart has deviated my heart from Abu Bakr, from Aisha, from Khadija, from everybody. My heart is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his heart is always alive, because wahi can come anytime. This is the level of zikr that we do. All these things will depend how much ikhlas we have. All those talks that we have been given about 40 weeks now, all those talks, if we have to, all this is to canalize on this point, that this heart is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The heart of a salik is for Allah. And this is why the Quran mentioned the wali of Allah, when they are sleeping, they're standing, they're sitting, their heart is with Allah. Even the turn, the tilt in the bed, up to the extent of going to their wife, when there is so much pleasure to enjoy, even at that very moment, with all due respect to brothers who are here, at the moment of ejaculation, which is one of the best feeling a man can have in his life, even at that very moment, there are dua to read, brothers. This heart is with Allah. At the moment of ejaculation, when we are making sohbat with our wife, which is one of the greatest feelings a man can feel, at that very moment, the heart must be with Allah. There's a dua to read, dear brothers. This extent, a salik's heart must be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This extent, a salik's heart must be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Samajhne ki cheez hai. So Rasulullah has given us guidelines. We are staying in a country where we are minorities. How we live? Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi has given four usul in Marifat Quran. How we make our friendship. Dilli ta'aluk sirf mu'min ke liye. First Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we are to give dilli ta'aluk, eat, drink, go to the house, coming back, etc., ye mu'min ke liye hai. Ghair musliman ke liye nahi hai. The second one is akhlaqiyat. Yani, good etiquettes, good manners. Our neighbors are poor. We want to give a gift there, some food. It's jaiz. He's not well, we pay him a visit. Sharia teaches us this. Rasulullah has paid visit to non-Muslims who are sick. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah. We must learn from that. A visit to the non-Muslim is the sunnah of Rasulullah. Lot of sawab there. To greet our neighbors. That also is a good akhlaq. This is the second ta'aluk. The third ta'aluk we make is mu'amalat, dealings. Buying, selling. Sharia allows you to buy and sell. To her political relationship. This also is jaiz. But the bunyad of it is not muhabbat. The bunyad of it is our Islam. The third one is, if a ta'aluk that we have is going to harm our Islam, or the ta'aluk is going to harm ourselves, then we must not have this type of ta'aluk. So the ta'aluk with real Muslim are two levels, mainly. One is etiquette, good manners, which Sharia teaches us, have good manners. The second one is our social dealings that we make with them. So this is the hudud that Sharia has drawn for us as to what limit we must go in friendship. Because that friendship, that time that we want to give people, give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it is not fruitful, don't give it to other people. But Rasulullah has drawn a line for us. Yani in the hadith that I've quoted, where Rasulullah says, restrain ourselves, exercise restraint with friendship. At times your friend can become your enemy and your friend can become your friend. That is love moderation. One Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, an old lady reports, there was an old lady came, Rasulullah make a lot of ihtiram for her, welcome her. Then when she went, Rasulullah said, who is this lady with so much ihtiram? He said, this was the friend of Khadija. This is my Khadija's friend. So Rasulullah respected her because this was Khadija's friend. In the same way, Ulama Kiram explained, must respect parents. And if our parents are not here, Sharia tells us, respect the friends of our parents. Allah. Keep ta'alluq with the friends of our friends, of our parents. Look at the balance that Sharia tells us to have. On the other hand, hatred. This is about love, muhabbat. Hatred, Sharia teaches us something else. There was a great Qazi, Ibn Qutayda. He was very, very intelligent. He was an alim. And the king, made, the Khalifa made him become the Qazi and befriended him, gave him a lot of gifts. One day, the king did something wrong and he rebuked the king on that. The king got very, very upset and dismissed him as a Qazi and sent a message, give all the gifts I've given you back, give all those gifts back. So when the person came to him, he opened his cupboard. He said, all the gift the king gave me, it is here. You see, when the king was giving me the gift, I was thinking of this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, be deliberate regarding your friendship. Beware of your friendship. Your friend today can become your enemy tomorrow, and your enemy today can become your friend today, so it can become your friend tomorrow. Therefore, I had this, when he was giving me the gift, I had this hadith in mind. I kept all here. Out of fear he can become an enemy, take all the gifts of the king and take him going back away. This was the son of an alim. There was a great alim in Karachi, and there was a person who had money, and he always tried to belittle people. Some people, because they got money, they belittle others. So this alim was very upset. He controlled himself at that moment. He said, no, I'm going to put him in his place in a very smart way. I'm going to write him a very harsh letter. And he wrote a letter, very harsh letter. Now, Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh got this whole of this letter. He said, give this letter here. The following day he called the person. When he's cool off, his anger is off. Say, I read your letter, but what are you going to get out of it? He says, to break friendship, you can do it any time you want. But to rebuild that friendship, it's going to take long. Better have patience and keep this friendship. Allah will reward you for your patience rather than break this friendship. So again, Sharia shows us the balance we must have with our friendship. We must not have hatred for people in a hurry also. Hajjaj bin Yusuf, who killed, I don't have to talk about it, how many people he killed, up to Sahaba Kiram he killed also, in the time of Marwan. Many, many, he even destroyed Kaaba also. He even destroyed Kaaba. The time was Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu anh, who fought with him after the son of Muawiyah radiallahu anh passed away, and they didn't have a Khalifa. So the Banu Amawiyah was in Damascus, and in Hejaz, Abdullah bin Umar was here, he took Hejaz, he said, because there was no Khalifa. So Marwan was appointed as the Khalifa in Damascus, and he appointed Hajjaj because you cannot have two Khalifas. So he sent his army. And what Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, Abdullah bin Zubair was not an ordinary Sahabi, by the way. He was the first Muhajir baby born in Medina. His mother, you know who was his mother? The step-sister of Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala. She was known as the person with the two belts. Because when Rasulullah went for Hijrah, she prepared two food, put it in a cloth and she tightened it. She had two belts. She break a belt and tightened it. And one for Rasulullah and one for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. Her name was Asma binti Abu Bakr. her son. That time he drank the blood of Rasulullah. Rasulullah used to make cupping. So Rasulullah one day made cupping and said, go and throw it away. His love for Rasulullah was such that he drank the blood of Rasulullah. And he became so, so strong. Rasulullah says, Jahannam will not touch your body. And it is said that he was so strong, when he used to go in ruku, for long, long ruku he was making that the birds used to come and sit on him. This is how strong he was. He and few people alone, they had to face Hajjaj. And Hajjaj could not enter the haram. This is how strong he was. So they came to kill him. They could not come in. They used to use catapults. And that time, this is where they destroyed the Kaaba. Part of the wall of Kaaba was destroyed also. That's the tariq of Islam. So he went to his mother, Asma. Asma became blind, radiallahu ta'ala anha. So he had his armor with him. He heard his mother. Say, mother, they're making a deal with me to give khilafah. Should I give it and get the world, in other words? Because they were making a deal before during the fight, because he was not surrendering. Asma told her, how can you do that, my son? How can you do that? He said, mommy, I just came to confirm what was in my heart with you, whether I'm doing the right thing. I'm not going to surrender to Marwan. Then Asma hold her son. She was blind. She said, oh my son, why are you wearing an armor? Let your ruh go easy. Let your ruh leave your body easily. And then he went, they got hold of him. There were about 14 people with him. They got hold of him and they hang him. Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu. Now this Hajjaj who killed him, the fifth or sixth Khalifa, who is some ulama say he is the fifth Khulafa Rashidun. One is Abu Bakr Siddiq, Umar, Osman, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The fifth one is Umar bin Abdul Aziz. So one person came and criticized Hajjaj with him. Allahu Akbar. Hajjaj was like this. He said, keep quiet. What do you get in criticizing Hajjaj? You don't know when you get to criticizing, all your good actions will go with him, to him, and all his bad actions will come on you. You make a ribat. Ribat is haram. This is how Sharia says we got to control ourselves with our hatred. And Abdullah bin Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmallah, was not an ordinary person. Allahu Akbar. He was a prince, was not an ordinary person. One day, Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to make patrol at night. One night he heard a mother telling his daughter, put water in milk to sell. He says, no, I cannot do that, mother. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was very strict. Everybody knew that. The mother said, but Umar won't know. The daughter said, but Allah will know. The following day, Umar calls his daughter and asks her hand in marriage for his son. From this daughter, from this womb, the next generation, Umar bin Abdul Aziz was born. From there, there's a very important usul again here. Our generation will be according to our aman. Our generation will be according to our aman. Very important. I can give you so many examples. Don't leave alone the Arab world. You go to the Indo-Pak world itself. The great, great Akabir that came, Shaul al-Dahlavi, rahmatullah, Mona Shafri Thanvi, rahmatullah alayhi, Mona Masihullah Khan Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi. All the great, great Akabir, most of them, if you look at their lineage, they go to Sahaba-i-Kiram. Most of them. If you study their biography, you will find that they go to Sahaba-i-Kiram. So the action that we do will have an effect on our generation. We must be careful. Coming back to my topic, the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have said that we must have a balance with our friendship. And we have to understand that friendship is very important. By the end of the day, we are called insan. The word insan is derived from the word uns in Arabic, which means to socialize. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled us to socialize because He has put muhabbat in our heart. This is why we can form a family. Animals don't form a family, because Allah hasn't put this in their heart. What I'm trying to say is our friendship must be moderated, must have a balance. Even at home, we must have a balance. Don't come too close and don't be too far. Rasulullah, when he used to come home, he always used to smile and make salam. I did quote this hadith before. So we must keep smile in our hearts, but don't talk unnecessarily. Don't involve too much. Keep a distance. There are many advantages to that. Tomorrow we depart from this world, the feeling won't be too much also. The feeling won't be too much. They won't feel the pain too much of the separation. So this is why Rasulullah says, if I am to take a Khalil, if it had been Abu Bakr, because his heart was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So friendship is a very, very important gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us insan. Animals do not make friendship. It's human beings who will make friendship. And this friendship is very important for socialization. This friendship is very important for the evolution of mankind. This friendship is not only from the street, it's at home as well. We must be like friends with our children. Today itself I was reading a book on psychology. Very ajib, the way it makes a lot of sense. This book is a bestseller actually. Where when we talk to our children, we tend to, for example, the child going up on the ceiling. Hey, Ibrahim, why you go up? What if you fall down? You break your leg. And if you break your leg, you got a shock in your lungs. You got a shock in your lungs. I have to take you to a doctor. And I take you to a doctor, you're going to be sitting in a hospital 1 week. And blah, blah, blah. Then what will happen to me? Finally, all those pain, we're not worried about our children. We worry about ourselves. What I will feel about it. This is the way we are. What are we putting in the mind, the way we grow, we bring up our children at home. You are bekar, you are hopeless. What we are not realizing, when making tarbiyat of children, those words, these are script that imprinted in the subconscious of the child. We keep on repeating this to this child. He grows up with this script in his mind. Because in his subconscious he's reading, I'm hopeless, I'm bekar, I cannot read Quran, I don't read namaz. What are we doing with our children at home? This is what I'm saying. Have patience at home. Have moderation with this ta'aluk which we have. We must balance our relationship at home. Be friendly with our wife. Be friendly with our children. But have a balance. The child must know that you are the father. The wife must know that you are the husband. And vice versa, give them the respect as well. The daughters. Daughters are only mehman in our house. We don't know when they're going to leave the house. We must keep them our guests in our house. Huh? There was one of our kabir, the day his daughter became baligha, he did not even raise his gaze to look at his daughter. So much respect for his daughter. So much respect for his daughter. He didn't raise his gaze to look at his daughter the day his daughter became baligha. A deep feeling. These are a lot of things to learn there. How do we regulate our friendship at home? How do we make our sohbat at home? Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be the bunyad. The love for Allah must be the basis. From there we spread the feelings. We spread the feelings to our wife, to our mother, to our father, to our friends, to our neighbors. Everybody got the haq that need to be fulfilled. But the fulfillment of those needs, this muhabbat that we want to give them, the premise of that is the love for Allah. Until we do not have this love of Allah in our heart, we will not be able to have moderation in our feelings, in our friendship, in our ta'aluk. And this will hamper our spiritual progress. So we must, inshallah, time is over also, balance our ta'aluk at home. Charity begins at home. There is no need here to come and make big Allah here, and at home, we are a different person. And we say in psychology, everybody wears a social mask. With your wife, you behave one way. With your children, you behave one way. In the masjid, we behave one way. On the street, we behave one way. We wear social mask. With everybody we wear, we keep on changing. But the Ahlullah doesn't wear social mask. The Ahlullah doesn't wear social mask. Everybody knows how the Ahlullah would behave. Because he is majzub. His mind is with Allah. You know how he's going to think. You know how he's going to talk. You know how he's going to behave. It's normal. But if you are not an Ahlullah, you wear social mask. And when you wear social mask, there's no moderation in our social life, our ta'aluk, our relation outside. Whatever I'm saying applies to me, first of all. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me tawfiq. Very soon I'm going to talk on who is Allah. The meaning of Allah, what it means, inshallah. Next week or the following week, I'm going to talk on that, inshallah. Where this word Allah come from? What is the maqam of the word that loves Allah? Inshallah, I'm going to talk on that. Next week or the following week, inshallah. Let's think of the scar. Let's think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times in our heart. يا من الأولين يا آخر الأخرين يا ذو القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا من السماوات والأرض يا حي يا قيوم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد بعد كل ما علمنا اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين وحسن أولئك رفيقا غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الفقر وقنا عذاب العين واحشرنا يوم القيامة بعد التقين والأخبار يا عزيز يا غفار اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اجعل أعمالنا كلها صالحة واجعلها كلها خالصة لوجهك ولا تجعل فيها لغيرك شيئا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الحمى والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجب والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما أسألك من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ من نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان ولك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين.